This country is full today. Churches of every denomination who have all one thing in common. They believe if you pray a prayer, you're going to go to heaven. Not apostles, Presbyterians, Church of God, Anabaptists, Baptists, Methodists. They all have this thing. They perverted the Romans Road, which Jesus never used. No disciple ever used it. No one in the Bible ever used that. They've wrestled something in the middle of what Paul said and turned it into a way to be saved. And wonder why the nation's going to hell. It's not the Jesuits that did it. It's not the Sodomites that did it. It's not the Illuminati that did it. Okay? It's the salt losing its saltiness. I tell the story time a couple years ago. I tried to look up the word saltiness in the King James Bible. It wasn't there.
But what?
Oh, it's the word saltness. If the salt not lose its saltiness, if it loses its saltness. A potato chip is salty because it has salt. The property of salt is saltness. Salt changes things. One thing all those churches have in common is they'll sit somewhere and change nothing around them. Yep. Nothing's changed. Except if you're there long enough, you'll find enough like-minded people who will eventually come to you. And if you go around looking at those churches, that's all they are. God was gracious to us. When I first got here, I went out and tried to get the good people to come. The people didn't want to come here. We went out and got the bad people. And God slowly began to turn some of them into good people. Okay? And then we got to the point, 20, 30 people. And women talk, and I'm like, why do you and your daughter wear dresses? They explain, because this is something my husband and I believe in. We just want to be different than the world. We want people to look out like Sam Young said, God never intended to look down from heaven, not be able to tell a man from a woman. Okay?
Right.
And after a while, they begin to wear them, and they found a liberty. They would brag to us of the liberty. Oh my goodness, you can believe the liberty in this. This dressing different than the world. And it was a liberty to them. And yet I go places where it's a heaviness that people have to do it. Same thing. Different attitude. And it's funny because I've got women here who are absolute ladies and their dresses can't hide their tattoos. Can't hide all the things they did to sin. Can't hide it. And Jesus took care of all that sin.
That's right.
And those homes are a place where Jesus Christ is honored and glorified.
Amen.
And they've come in here to the house of God. Then after a while, people look, wow, you got 20, 30 people singing hymns. We, the Battises are sitting over here. I remember the day Sharon Battis called me from the side of the road weeping with all her heart. Pastor, all I do is just run you down. I run my mouth about you and this and that. I knew that about Sharon. I also knew that if you took all the different people that came out of Ohio and those churches that were classes, they're all doing the same thing. But there's one of them God got a hold of.
Hey. That's good, brother. Hey.
Now, the whores that came in here got saved, they never did that.
That's right.
The drug addicts came in here and got saved, they never, they just, you know. Miss Jody came in here so broken, her family so broken, her kids have never driven home listening to me being torn down. And let me tell you something. There has probably never been a man of God who's given more ammunition to people who like to do that. All right? If you're somebody who likes to run your mouth on the preacher, I'm your man. All right? I've got more faults per square foot than anybody you're ever going to run into. But all these people came over from the Obi Church down here, along St. John the Baptist's, blown out of here. He talks dirty in the pulpit. And then you find out, the woman's married some godless little wimp, can't run his own home. They're sleeping in different bedrooms. Yeah, that's right. That woman that came in 3 weeks in a row with her blouse all split like this, I finally went to her and told her, hey, the dairy festival's over. Then they smiled. Well, she's not offended. She knows what she's been trying to do. You remember those days, Debbie? Remember those days? They knew they were trying to entice. And I went, oh, he talked dirty in the pulpit. And it's always, you know, to the pure, all things are pure.
That's right. Yeah. That's
but to the unbelieving and defiled, it's nothing pure. And it's usually some godless little wimp who can't run his own home. His wife won't obey him, his daughter won't obey him, his sons won't obey him. And all this stuff goes on, and they blow out of here. Dick Botens over here, him and his godly wife, godly Dick Botens, he said, you know, if you go down there to the West Clarksville Church, they're all pretty convinced you're a pervert. Now, that isn't amazing how families have been made pure to come in.
Right, brother.
Families have been made holy to come in. Jesus Christ said, what you eat goes out into the draft. Was he dirty? Okay. When God told Ezekiel, they told these women, they opened their feet for every man. Was he dirty? When God told Isaiah, take and strip yourself butt naked and walk around. Was he dirty? I had a woman get a hold of me from Washington State. Listens to all the Bible studies. I'll never listen to you again. You talked about if a man stood on that pew and took a dump on that pew, he couldn't be any more filthy than some of you are in your self-righteousness. She said, that's the most horrible thing. I opened up the book of Ezekiel and said, well, how about this? How about make your bread with dung that comes out of man in their sight? Was God dirty?
Right.
Now, she had good enough sense to apologize. Okay? But you know what? Again, it's one of those homes where everybody's split apart. Mama doesn't obey daddy, daddy doesn't obey mama, and all that kind of stuff. And somehow or other, they just can't take that. But I thank God for those who come in here and recognize that someone was telling them to say the truth. Someone knew their dirty, foul little lives, that Jesus could make it clean, and it's a wonderful life. It's a glorious life. And I'm not against how anybody wants to do anything. But I want to see that church change the surrounding it's in.
Right.
Isaac Asimov one time in a treatise writing on how do you define life scientifically, he said one of the things about life, true life, can affect its surroundings.
Right. Amen.
He said that's one of the ways science does. It has to be able to affect its local entropy. It has to be able to affect its local surroundings. I can count 5 houses from this property where people come to the house of God. Some of them with lives are utterly, absolutely changed.
Amen.
Absolutely changed. Never to go back to what they were. Children that grow up with parents that are holy. Wives that used to be rebels in subjection to their husbands. But all of America has been destroyed. Not by the communists. Not by the Illuminati. They've been destroyed by salt that's lost its saltness. You know how it's lost its saltness? You can put it on something and it doesn't change anything. You can take church like that, I don't care what community you put it in. Neighbor over here, neighbor over there, neighbor over here, neighbor over there, nothing will change. And if the church moves, only the electric company will know that something changed. If what you have can affect what's around you, it's lost its saltness. There's nothing to it. Nothing to it.
Amen.
I can make salt look real good. But it's got to be able to act. It's got to be able to do something. It's got to be able to make a difference. Has this church made a difference in this community? You better believe it. Okay? You better believe it. what this man, Brother McVeigh, just preached, people could only get that into their ears and into their heart. You go in churches all over this country. About what percentage in the average Baptist church of people actually have Salvation Day, in your opinion? Both of you do.
In the best churches, go into 10%.
He said about 10%.
In the best churches. I go in churches, I don't believe one person, including the pastor, has been converted.
I believe that.
Sam Allen said this 40 years ago. He said, in the very best churches I go into, I'm talking about churches in Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, places that have been there a while, all the women dress right and everything else. He said, the very best churches I go into, maybe about 40% of people actually have real salvation. Almost everybody who ever got saved in his meetings were people who've been going to church a long time. David Brainerd went out in the wilderness 2 years, came back with tuberculosis, but a lot of Indians with salvation. And when he came back to the towns of Jonathan Edwards in the Great Awakening, he said this: I now can see that the very churches that sent me are lost.
Right.
They don't have salvation.
Right.
They don't have it. Revival will come to this country when church people begin to repent.
Right. That's right.
That's when revival will come. When church people begin to repent. Now we got six men from this church who sat up here today, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
This man is the one deputed, the deputy, to in charge of their education. What's their education? Read the Word of God, you stinking idiot. All right, him and I kind of discussed who ought to preach where, or this kind of thing, and whatever else. But again, God made a difference in his life. That began to make difference in other people's lives, which began to make differences in other people's lives. If all I did, you know, we have 700 people in New Hudson, 41,000 people in all of Allegheny County, 15,000 people in neighboring county in Pennsylvania. Somebody bragged to me about a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, had 160 people come right. Every man wears a suit, three-piece suit and tie. Even little boys wear a three-piece suit and tie. All the women wear the most perfect dresses. They come on Wednesday night, they come on Sunday night. And one day I took the calculator. The man had been there 25 years. And I took that 160 people and the 500,000 people that live in the Knoxville area, and found out that 0.00032% of the people there come to church there. All right? Why? Because eventually, no matter who you are, what you believe, 0.00032% of the people will come to you. All right? Yeah. You put your banner up long enough. That's not converting anybody. That's just getting a bunch of people that think like you think to come to church together.
Right.
Whatever happened to go out there and have a life, have a Jesus, have a Bible, have a salvation, that other people would give anything to have that, long for that. And again, I'm one of the most imperfect men you'll ever meet. But I remember the days when he desired, told his wife, I want what that man has. You know what happens now? He goes into the prisons and men want what he has. Most prison ministries beg prisons to let them in. Prisons have called him from Georgia, Missouri, all over this state. Would you please come into our prison? Would you please come here? He's stretched more thin than he can ever be. He's got Ronnie going into these prisons for him now. He's got his son going in there. Zoom meetings and all that kind of thing. Why? Because people want so bad what he's got, not what he is, what he's got.
That's right.
Okay? That's right. And you know what? That's so much what the training of the other five men here is going to be, is training them to live a life so that people long to have what they have. Long to have that liberty. Long to have that family.
long to have that joy, long to have that purity, long to have that boldness, long to have Jesus Christ, long to have a King James Bible actually working in their lives. But isn't that the most rare thing you see anywhere?
Yes, sir.
Now,
you know what we call churches that have begun to make a difference in their community? We call them woke. Now, the devil getting mad at that. He tried to steal it. What would God say? Awake unto righteousness, all right? It's God's turn. That man and that woman right there, her father-in-law and his father, they have churches awakened. Neighbors are getting saved, okay? Neighbors are coming in with salvation, okay? People are coming in there and beginning to be ashamed of sin and wanting to hear and have that kind of thing. See that man and his wife sitting right there? He had to take over 40 hardened men and went through all the difficulties of church, destroyed everything else. And by the grace of God, God's awakening that church. God's awakening that church. Son Michael right there goes to church, Knoxville, North Carolina. Got a pastor there, God's awakening that church. There's families changing. I mean, holiness entering in. Okay? Absolutely changing people. People are getting saved. People are getting born again. I don't mean just made a little profession. I mean, you go to that family and people are stunned. You go to that family, people are amazed. I've had doctors tell me what the difference people here are. I've had social workers amazed by the difference in people. I've had family members stunned by the difference in people. Why? Because it's what Jesus does. It's what Jesus does. Okay? It's what Jesus does. Change it. Brother Dale.
All right, we're gonna wrap this up here. And it's been good. You know, Brother Tim leaned over to me earlier. He said, you know, the people that sat under the meeting this week, they leave here lost. How can that be? Well, I'll tell you what, Judas Iscariot would have had an easier time to getting saved this week than you, most of you people sitting here. That's a reality. You know, a big struggle with a lot of people is this. I deal with it with my family all the time. Is they're law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. They work. They abide by the laws of man. And because of that goodness, the devil blinds their minds with that goodness. They think that is their self-righteousness, that we are not breaking laws. We are tax-paying, law-abiding, working citizens. Therefore, they do not see their need for Jesus. Their work, their tax-paying, law-abiding citizen, and it holds on to them so blindly that they do not see a need for Jesus Christ. Until they understand what they are in the eyes of God, they'll stay lost. And no matter what work they work, no matter how many taxes they pay, you'll bust hell wide open with that nonsense. And it ain't about a good tax-paying, law-abiding citizen, my friend. It's about understanding your guilt before a holy God by about breaking His laws. It's His laws. It's His laws. It's not man's laws that He's concerned about. For 4 years, I tried coming to this pulpit under the condemnation of man's laws. I had to come under the condemnation of God's laws and what I was under His eyes. My friends, don't leave here like that. As I was sitting there, and I promise you, I am not trying to use scare tactics. I don't get into that nonsense. But as I was sitting there, Brother Tim, I kid you not, I'm your friend, man, and I mean this. God warned me that there's going to be somebody walk out of here we may not see again. That never happens to me. You take that for what you want. You go ahead and play Russian roulette. You believe what you want, but I'll tell you what right now, if you're a lost person, you better be careful. That's not from me. That's not from me. I wouldn't tell you that. That's just not what I'm about. If anybody who's ever heard my preaching, you've never heard me say that. If I ever get that, which I don't plainly make something, maybe once in a while I'll get that in my heart, but God just showed me right there. God has pretty much begged you all week to hear what He's had to say. He can't do any more. He's done. He's done. He's done what he could. What do you do with it? Leave here another youth week. Leave here after the Holy Ghost of God has dealt with the hearts of the people. Just leave here the same you came in here. Harden. Don't care about the things of God. Hold up the things of the world and funny and think that I'm okay because I do this and I do that. I listen to conversations. I listen to what people say. Carl's an ex-convict. We watch people and we listen. It's a benefit God gave me as a Christian that I can use to try to help people. I don't judge him for that. But for surely, the conversations I've heard, even today myself, scare me. Because I know that there are many blinded by their goodness. I'm not even talking about church stuff. I'm talking about them being a good, tax-paying, law-abiding citizen. Somebody's out there working that job, doing those things that they were taught as a child, doing those things that God would love to have men do. And in that goodness, they're blind to the things that God is trying to hold against them, trying to get them to see. In that goodness, it keeps them bound up, but they will not see that. But they keep crossing the man of God one too many times. There's many times, John Mark, I go, God, why do you keep that person alive? You know what he shows me all the time? It's my long-suffering, Dale, not yours.
That's it. Right.
Thank God.
Just a human. It's his long-suffering, not mine. But I tell you, how far are you willing to push his long-suffering? That's a reality. He tells us that. And so I beg you to please take heed to what's been said today. Take heed what's been said this week. God has given us messages. God has given the preaching. God has given these men up here messages and he repeated it 3 or 4 times for us to hear. Why? Because there's somebody in here who's trying to break that down. Out of hatred, of pure love. A pure love for a soul. And so as we leave here, we need to be praying. We need to be thinking about our own lives. If you're a Christian or whether you're saved, you need to be thinking about those things. And we thank God, you know, go home and prepare your heart for tomorrow. Church is tomorrow. I mean, we got church. It's going to happen. Are you ready for that? Or is it because 18 weeks over, that's it? God's not going to show up anymore. That's what we think. Well, special meeting's over. God's done. He's hung his hat. He's going to rest a little while.
Yeah.
That's how we treat it. October meeting will come, and guess what? We'll do the same thing. Sitting at our own table, the Holy Ghost is begging to teach us something, and we just lightly take it. What are you going to do with it this week? How many times have you heard that over and over again, every youth week, what are you going to do with it this week?
Yeah.
Would to God, this will not be the last horn that you've had to hear. It could be a reality. I don't know. I know one thing. I know God said it's over. He's done. I believe he's done. I think he's finished. He's done what he had to do. Now the rest is up to you. And so with that, if I'm trying to find... Brother Seeley, would you close in prayer, but pray for the people. Brother Matt, if you would also pray after Brother Seeley. And I need one more person. John Mark, I want you to close it out. And pray for those, especially those ones that are lost seeking, okay, brother?
Great God of heaven and earth, Lord, my creator, my God. Lord, I am thankful that you've allowed us and my family to be a part of this meeting. Pray, God, that I have not heard this meeting. I need to grieve the Spirit of God by being here. Lord, you have shown us so many great and mighty things. Shown us Jesus Christ. You've manifested your word through preaching. You revealed eternal truths to us. You've opened the eyes of the blind. You've cut away the flesh of the foreskin of our hearts. It's more than our iniquities deserve. But God is rich in mercy. Lord, you've loved us. Lord, Lord Jesus, you've loved us and you've shown us all these things. God, I pray for your long suffering, your mercy to continue toward those who are resisting. Oh God, lead them unto you. Jesus, you said, all that my Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. So, Father, I pray that you give them to Jesus Christ. Lord, help them. Lord, change them. Open their eyes. God, I pray that you would save them from the pit. Lord, you'd save them from themselves. Lord, that you would continue to bind Satan and his devils from them. God, make them free. Then I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the morning. God, I have nothing more to pray. I believe you'll do what you promised you'd say you'll do. This is in your hands, O God. In the name of my Jesus Christ, I pray this.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the messages that we've heard this week. We thank you for meeting with us. Lord, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit through Christ. Be with those who are struggling today, that you will convict them strongly. That they might know you as their Savior, know the joy and peace that comes from you. And beyond that, Lord, that you would give us such a burden for those that need you that is stronger than our own selfishness and pride. We reach others for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, you know I don't really know how to pray well, God. We thank you for what you did in my life this week. I saw others troubled, God, that same night. Some, my family, a couple of nieces, God, I pray that you would continue work that you started in others this week, God, the ones that are troubled, the ones that are untroubled, God, I pray that you will trouble them. Pray that you be long-suffering, God, I pray that you make clear the things that were said. Pray that conviction that is on people have gotten to this, and do not allow that to leave easily.